Take 6 seconds, that's what I understand. All right, we're going to go ahead and start the House Transportation Committee meeting for today, the 3rd of April. You're in the Barnes Committee Room. And we have before us HB 212, which is a bill by Representative Millett, but it was by request, and we have today the requestor with us here. So what I'll do is I'm going to start off, and she's got a lot of paperwork. I'm going to bring her up. Please, Jessica, if you wouldn't mind, come on up to the it's your first time in the hot seat. And what I'll ask you both to do, since Jeff's also joining you here from Representative Millett's office, I'll ask you to first to start, put your name on the record, tell us any affiliation, or in this case, if you want to just give us a little bit of background, which I think everyone knows, but just kind of your details. If you have anything to say, please do. We do have a few amendments in front of us. Has the sponsor seen these? We have four? Okay. After you make a comment on it, then we'll go ahead and address the amendments that I believe are all Representative Gruenberg. So please go ahead and start.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Jessica Lucan. I'm representing myself. As you know, a little over a year ago, I had the opportunity to take place in the program Juno Close-Up back in 2011, and part of the homework beforehand was to present a project to our state representative and senator, and now the product of that project is House Bill 212. As you see the amendments before you, I agree completely with all of them. I think that it's important to make legislation as perfect as possible, and no legislation is perfect, but as close as we can make it, I agree with that. So.
All right, appreciate that. And I also need to make sure that we were waiting on a few others, make sure that I introduced that Representative Peterson, Representative Gruber, Representative Feige, myself, Representative Pruitt are all here. We should have Representative Munoz here in a little bit. Representative Wilson is excused. On that, Representative Gruenberg.
I'd just like to say to Jessica that I've got to tell my wife, Kayla, who was your teacher, how these kids get out of hand. You give them a little knowledge, and they come and they introduce legislation, and it passes. That's terrible. I don't think we ought to do that. Did a good job.
All right.
I don't want them to move back in.
We'll go ahead and get started. Representative Gruenberg, would you like to start?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask that Miles also come up by the hot seat here. Miles is my staff. Miles Brooks. No, you stay there, and Miles, just take a chair. And because he's been working on these, really, if that's okay.
Please introduce yourself, your affiliation, and then proceed with them. Do we need to move an amendment before he starts?
Why don't you just introduce himself, and then he can talk.
Okay. Please, go ahead.
For the record, Miles Brooks, staff representative, Gruenberg, District 20.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The First Amendment I would like to offer is Amendment B6, if that could be labeled Amendment Number 1, please.
All right. B6 will be labeled Amendment Number 1. I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask my staff to explain what Amendment Number 1 does.
And Representative Munoz has joined us. Miles, please, go ahead.
Miles Brooks again. Amendment B6 came to our attention after speaking with members of the Department of Motor Vehicles in response to there could be certain areas in the state where vehicles as defined in this bill, which is a broad term, a vehicle is anything that's propelled, self-led motor, that's not animal or human-powered, that unnecessarily in this bill, in some rural areas or whatnot, that where vehicles such as ATVs and snowmobiles, where they may be allowed on a road system, would have to be subject to this the sticker rule. And that was a concern that was brought up by discussions between the bill sponsor and the Department of Motor Vehicles, Whitney Brewster.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gruenberg.
Before I ask these other folks if they agree with the amendment, Ms. Brewster, in a conversation or an email, asked us to list, for the legislative history purposes, the types of vehicles that would be exempt. And referring to any of the documents you have, please list the kinds of vehicles we're talking about exempting here through the
Miles,
chair.
Miles, please.
Vehicles that we wanted to put on the record to make sure that we were exempt, all-terrain vehicles, otherwise known as ATVs, snow machines or snowmobiles, and motorcycles or motor-driven scooters were something that we wanted to put on the record to make sure that they were exempt.
Okay. And with that, I would ask if the sponsor is agreeable, if Jessica is agreeable, and if DMV, who should be on the line, if they're agreeable.
Yeah, I will make Lieutenant Dial is online. He's available to testify as necessary. But Whitney Brewster is also online, available for questions. And we do have in our audience Deputy Commissioner of Public Safety, Jerry Verbeck, if we have any questions for him as well.
Mr. Chair, could I ask Mr. Turner if the sponsor is agreeable with the amendment?
For the record, Jeff Turner, staffer, Representative Millett, through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, yes, Representative Millett supports the amendment.
If I could ask the same question of Ms. Lucan.
For the record, my name is Jessica Lucan, and I agree with the amendment.
And if we could ask Ms. Brewster to put herself on the record and ask her the same question.
Ms. Brewster, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Yes, I have seen the amendment and understand it, and and the DMV is agreeable to it.
Okay. It makes any sense. I'll remove my makes sense to me, so I'll remove my objection. Is there any other objections to this amendment? Seeing none, Amendment 1 has passed. Mr. May.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Gruenberg, or Representative Gruenberg.
The next I would offer is called conceptual amendment, and if we could make that number 2.
Okay. Does everyone have conceptual amendment? It will be conceptual amendment number 2. I'll object for purposes of discussion. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once again, Mr. Brooks, if you would explain the amendment, please.
Miles Brooks again. The conceptual amendment that's before us came to our attention also, talking with DMV and the bill sponsor, that there may be vehicles that are covered under the statute at hand here that may not necessarily have a rear window. We just wanted to make sure if they're covered statute-wise by the regulations adopted by DMV, that just because they didn't have a rear window that they would be exempt, that DMV could set a regulation that says in another area of the vehicle other than a rear window if there is no rear window in that vehicle.
Mr. Chair, it's not limited to, quote, if there's no rear window. It would give the Division of Motor Vehicles the right to choose to adopt a regulation, go through the Administrative Procedures Act, and choose a location if it wished to do so.
You know, that brings up an interesting point. I guess we didn't ask it last time, and maybe this might be something that Ms. Brewster with DMV needs to answer. Is there provisional licenses for motorcycles? Ms. Brewster, that may be something that you might be able to answer.
Mr. Chairman, Whitney Brewster again. Yes, there is a provisional license for the provisional requirements do apply both to Class D as well as motorcycle licenses. So to answer your specific question, yes.
So this kind of gives us the opportunity for an instance where there is definitely not a rear window, the opportunity for you guys to choose what would be the best location to place this sticker, or it almost needed to be a decal, I guess, for a motorcycle. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you.
With that, Mr. Chairman, did you have a question?
No.
I would ask Mr. Turner if the sponsor is agreeable with Amendment number 2.
Once again, Jeff Turner, staffer, Representative Millett, through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, yes, she does support the amendment.
And I would ask Ms. Lucan the same question.
Through the chair, I agree with the amendment.
And I would ask Ms. Brewster the same question.
Ms. Brewster, can you state your...
Whitney Brewster, yes, the DMV does agree with the amendment.
All right. I'll actually remove my objection. Are there any other objections to conceptual amendment number 2? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number 2 has passed. Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would next offer amendment B3.
We do have an objection. B3 will be labeled as amendment number 3.
And I would ask, with your permission, sir.
Please.
Mr. Brooks, to Please explain B3.
Miles Brooks again. B3 also came out of some concerns from some rural people as well as the DMV in terms of applying this to rural areas where the traffic count would be less than 500, as well as there are certain areas where the population is over 500 that may have 2 miles of roads that where these licensed individuals may not necessarily apply to the provisional driver's license statute. And I believe I'll defer to Whitney Brewster, I think, can walk us through this amendment a little better.
Mr. Chair, before we get there, in your packets, you should have a lengthy list of locations that meet this. And you'll see some blanks where some towns went over 500, and so they're no longer on the list. But that's it's a lengthy list. I can show it to you if you need it. If we could ask with that, Mr. Turner, does the sponsor object to the amendment?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, she agrees with the amendment.
And Ms. Lucan?
Through the chair, I agree with the amendment.
And Ms. Brewster, with the chair's permission.
Ms. Brewster, can you speak to your...
Whitney Brewster, yes, the DMV is agreeable to the amendment, amendment number 3.
And Mr. Chair, you'll see on line 5, we have deleted the word or and inserted the word and that's the way I'm offering the amendment, and that is with the DMV specifically requested that we change the or to and through the chair. Ms. Brewster, is that not correct?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, that is correct. There was some concern that not having a definition of what is considered a road system would leave communities such as Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka exempt under this bill. So the DMV is preferring that that the road system requirement still be allowed for the exemption, but also includes a caveat of a population of 500 or less to be able to really exempt those areas that are truly rural.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That completes my question.
I think I'm going to, Representative Peterson, definitely want to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just happened to think of one question. If a municipality that had a population of less than 500 chose to be included in this program, would that be allowed under this amendment?
That may be for you, Ms. Brewster.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Representative Peterson, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question. I guess that would be more of a question for the local government if they chose to opt into the program. And obviously local law enforcement could make that enforcement should it be adopted.
Okay. Representative Feige?
I guess the only thing I have here, Mr. Chairman, is if, I guess, somebody decides to operate a vehicle off the road system, say my kid gets a Hummer for her birthday, and since she doesn't live in a municipality, she would have to keep the sticker on the vehicle.
Okay, go ahead.
I guess is the point of this to remove the provisional sticker in the off-road areas, or to remove it in the small villages that are currently exempted from those kind of requirements?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Brewer.
I'd like to answer Representative Feige, then Representative Peterson, okay. And I think that we should then ask for confirmation or disagreement if Ms. Brewster has any. The way the Amendment 3 is drafted, in order to not be required to have the sticker, both number one and number two would have to be satisfied. In other words, the area would have to be off the road system and operating the vehicle in a municipality of less than 500. So if the young lady in question were operating not in a municipality, but in an area off the road system, et cetera, she wouldn't have to comply. And I'm wondering, I'd ask Ms. Brewster if that's correct.
Ms. Brewster, can you please confirm?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, yes, that is my understanding as well.
I want to add to that. Ms. Brewster, please, your thoughts on this. If an individual lives in an area that fits into the requirements we have here, but let's say that this individual then heads to Anchorage to see family or something like that, so they end up in a municipality that is on the road system and does have more than 500 people in it. Because they got their license or their provisional license and they live in an area that qualifies under this, are they going to have to get one of the stickers to place in the back or wherever for being in that urban area that doesn't fit these requirements?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it's my understanding that they would be required to display the provisional sticker in an area that does not meet this exemption. So if they were in an area that meets the exemption and then came to, let's say, Anchorage or Fairbanks, they would need to display that sticker if they were operating a vehicle.
Because it's on the road system.
Thank you. Additional question?
Question for Ms. Brewster.
Representative Feige?
Does one need a driver's license of any kind to operate a motor vehicle off the road system?
Through the chair, Representative Feige, yes. Anybody operating a vehicle on a public roadway is required to be licensed.
Hello.
Okay, but what comes to mind here is just when you say off the road system, I guess I'm interpreting that as off the road, which, going moose hunting north of Eureka is certainly
off the road.
But I guess we're off the road system, operating on a state road, so just off out in the bush. Okay. I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Objection is removed, and I think the and definitely, it was an important piece to this.
And I hope, Mr. Chair, that the record, I'm kind of looking at Becky Rooney over there, that part of the record should be that list of municipalities, and she's saying yes, it is. So, and Ms. Brewster, I hope you have that list that we're referring to. Do you need us to get you a copy, or do you have that list?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I'm not certain at what list that you're looking at, but I can certainly follow up after the committee hearing and get that
I'll ask Mr. Brooks and Ms. Rooney to be sure to get that for you. Okay.
Thank you, Representative Gruenberg. Anything else you'd like to say? The objection has been removed.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything. Representative Peterson asked a question about whether a municipality could opt into this. And Ms. Brewster, the way I read this, it doesn't envision a municipality opting in. And am I wrong in that, or does the current language does allow a municipality to opt in?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I believe that a municipality, if they chose to adopt an ordinance, could opt in, but I would probably need to defer to the Department of Law on that question.
Mr. Chair, I can see what she's saying. It would be a local ordinance,
right.
And I would concur. I don't think we have to go to law. There's no nothing to prohibit.
I agree with you.
They would have to opt in by adoption of a local ordinance.
Right.
Okay. So the amendments are adopted?
Seeing no other objection, Amendment 3 is adopted. All right, we do have one other one, Representative Grunberg.
Yes, this does two things, and if anybody wishes, they certainly can be bifurcated. But we did it for convenience in one amendment. The line 6, I'm going to offer amendment
please,
number 4.
Please, yes. Amendment number 4, which is B4.
Yes.
And go ahead, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On line 6, we made the bill a bill that would be a four-year bill, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016, which allows the legislature to see how this is working out, and if they wish to extend it, they can. If not, it will sunset. And 4 years seemed to us, and Mr. Brooks and I discussed this at some length with the other folks, to seem a reasonable period of time to get a track record for the bill. And the second part of the amendment gives a little delay to the effective date, so it wouldn't be in the fall, but it would start at the beginning of 2013, and give the word plenty of time to get out to the young people and their families. And I would ask, if I may, Mr. Brooks, is there anything I should add to that?
Through the chair, for the record, Miles Brooks. Especially delayed effective date, some testimony that we heard the last time this bill was heard was there was a number that was out there, about 6,000 provisional licenses, and we were concerned about if this passed through, dragging 6,000 people back into the system, here's your sticker. So we wanted to avoid that. And listening to other testimony, the only state that I believe that's done this is New Jersey, and they've only had it on the books for about 2 years now, so there's not a lot of data out there. So we wanted, again, to have like a four-year window so we could use this as a way to study the data after 3 years or so, and hopefully we can get a better picture of this. And if the program turns out to be a good program, then it's in the legislature's authority to extend it. And if it turns out to be a program that's not desired, then as on the record, it can just simply expire.
All right. Now, I'll make sure that there's an objection for the purpose of discussion. I do have a question for Ms. Brewster based on this. Ms. Brewster, how would this be implemented? If there's 6,000 people currently that have provisional licenses, you can't just automatically turn it on and tell everyone who has a license and maybe 2 months into it but still have several months left. Are we going to tell them that they need to go back to the DMV and get these stickers? How do you see this being implemented initially? Or will it be only people that get their provisional license after January 1st that will be affected by this?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that there would need to be extensive public outreach. For those existing licensees, I would imagine that the DMV would actually contact those individuals directly to let them know of the requirements. But any new licenses issued would certainly be the provisional licenses at the time that they were issued. We would also issue the sticker.
Okay, so there would need to be some outreach done by the Department of Motor Vehicles to everyone who has a license to tell them to basically come back in and get your sticker.
Mr. Chairman, yes, or we could technically send them the provisional sticker at the time of notification. We certainly don't want to overly burden the customer by requiring them to come in if there are other means for us to get them the sticker.
And that's kind of my thought, is I don't think that there's a I'm not in disagreement with making a date that's a drop-dead date of January 1st. But I do want to make sure that we're not overburdening those. There's no reason that a person who goes, stands in line at the DMV, gets their license, needs to go back and spend another 20 minutes or however long it may take at the DMV to get their to get their sticker. Should we have it that any new license given after January 1st, that it's effective, that it should be implemented with every new license issued after January 1st, as opposed to going back and trying to get everyone that currently had one at that point in time to put the sticker in?
Mr. Chairman, that would be helpful.
Okay. Is the sponsor willing to?
No, I have no problem with that. May I inquire for just?
Please, Representative Gruber.
I mean, I know you have a question. I think that the chair has raised an important point, and it could really clog up DMV offices otherwise. Would you be able to do this to notify people by mail or email or something so that they or mail or something so that they could either apply for these stickers by mail or could apply online? And if so, do we need to amend the bill to allow you to do that?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I don't believe that the bill needs to be amended to allow the DMV to contact all of those provisional holders that we currently have in our system. We could do that via mail. There is no requirement that I can see in this bill that they actually apply for the sticker. So the fact that they have a provisional license, I think, automatically makes them eligible for the sticker, and we could then just correspond with them via mail to get them the sticker versus requiring them to come into an office.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you want to do an amendment, what you were saying, I would have no problem with that. It would be a friendly amendment.
Did you have something?
I'll ask a question of Ms. Brewster. Ms. Brewster, this is Kathy Munoz, and I was just curious your thoughts on a sunset provision for this.
Through the chair, Representative Munoz, this is a sunset provision is easily implemented at the DMV. We really don't have very strong feelings about it, and believe that it's a policy call for the legislature to make.
Are you okay? All right. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Whitney, I was just wondering, I believe these provisional licenses are only necessary or only called provisional for the first 6 months. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Peterson, it is dependent upon the individual. If they receive a traffic violation, the provisional requirements are extended another 6 months from the date they were convicted. In best case scenario, it's a 6 month provision. Otherwise, it could go until they were 18, dependent upon their driving record.
Thank you. Follow-up?
Any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, say, starting the 1st of July, 6 months before this bill became effective, would the DMV be able to tell people who were receiving provisional licenses that they may in the future have to get a sticker for their vehicles? That way you wouldn't have to contact them, later at a later time?
Through the chair, Representative Peterson, are you referring to those that are permit holders? I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Okay. I was thinking that if someone came in and got a provisional license, say, on the 1st of July, which would be 6 months before the implementation date, before this bill took effect, would the DMV be able to let them know that they might need to get a sticker for their vehicle so you wouldn't have to contact them at a later time?
Through the chair, Representative Peterson, yes, the DMV could certainly do that. We could have posters in our offices and also make sure that our employees are aware of the new requirements so that they can let the license holder know of the requirements that are coming up.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Brewster. And I'll just say, I'd almost have two concerns with doing that. One is, If I were to ask a teacher how often 16-year-olds remember to bring in their homework, they might say that they struggle with that. So trying to get someone, a 16-year-old who just got their license, to remember to come back in by the end of the year might be a little difficult. The other thing is something tells me that they're all going to say, I don't need it until about 1 to 2 weeks before the end of January. And before you know it, we're going to have a rush on the DMV. Those would be my only concerns. So therefore, I will, conceptual amendment, number one, to amendment number four, and please tell me if this is the right place for it, if there's those that, I'm not a bill drafter here, but on line seven of the amendment, this act takes effect for provisional license issued after January 1st, 2013.
For provisional
licenses issued after January 1st, 2013.
As the duty lawyer here, I would say that's a good place for it. And let's make this a conceptual amendment, number four.
Okay, so this is conceptual amendment one to conceptual amendment number four. Are there any objections to conceptual amendment number one to conceptual amendment number four? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number one to conceptual amendment number four passes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, please.
I would ask now that the amendment to the amendment has been adopted if Mr. Turner, on behalf of the sponsor, would support the amendment as amended.
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, I'm sure Representative Millett would be fine with that change.
And through the chair, if I could ask Ms. Lucan the same question.
Through the chair, I approve of the amendment.
And through the chair, if I could ask Ms. Brewster the same question.
Ms. Brewster.
Whitney Brewster, yes, the DMV is agreeable to the amendment.
Thank you.
As amended.
As amended. All right. Are there any other... I'll remove my objection to conceptual amendment number four. Are there any other objections to conceptual amendment number four? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number four, as amended, has passed the committee.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I do have something here.
Representative Gruenberg.
And I would ask the staff, I don't know if I should ask Ms. Hemingway this or who, we adopted several amendments the last time we did this, conceptual amendment number one and conceptual amendment number two.
Which should be in.
We're ready to submit them.
Okay. My question, Ms. Rooney, is whether instead of calling today's amendment number one, whether we should call that number three and go on from there.
It's fine.
We're okay.
We're going to be okay?
Yeah.
On the record, that brings us back to the bill. Committee discussion. Representative Feige.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The concern I have here is has to deal with farming and the license or the requirements for having a sticker when a family member essentially is operating a piece of farm equipment. Do we want to exempt those folks from having to drag the sticker around on the tractor, on the grain truck, on whatever else? It says here in the statutes that a person when driving an implement of husbandry, which I understand is a tractor, is exempt from a driver's license in the first place.
Right.
So do we want to specifically put an amendment here where it, somewhere in on the first page, anywhere between line 4 and 10, some kind of an amendment that exempts agricultural operations at all?
Mr. Chair?
Representative Gruenberg.
If you would look at today's amendment number one, it says the department may by regulation exempt the operation of certain types of motor vehicles from the requirement to display a sticker under this subsection. And I don't think it was certainly my intent as the offerer of the amendment to have a farm, you know, vehicle that's out in the field or something having to do this, or even if you took it on the road. We're talking about if there's a pickup truck or something, I think then if it's in the proper place, I mean on a road, that you should have to have the sticker on. But if it's a specialized vehicle or something like that, and what we did was we listed certain types of vehicles as illustrative, and this was what Ms. Brewster had suggested we do for the legislative history. And I'm wondering, we could certainly list the farm implements and these other things too if you wish, or Ms. Brewster simply said that we can put that on the record and then their regulation will put that in. And I'm wondering if I can, through the chair, first of all, ask Ms. Brewster if we simply, Representative Feige listed the kinds of things he was talking about, as we did with the other vehicles, the snow machines and stuff like that. Would that be sufficient for your purpose? And if it is, I'd ask Representative Feige if he would like to do that, if that would be sufficient for his purpose.
Right. Ms. Brewster, if you would, please, I think this is vital. Please give us your take on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It would not be the DMV's intent to include vehicles of husbandry as vehicles required to have the provisional sticker. I just would like to note, as Representative Feige pointed out, those you are not required to be licensed to operate those types of vehicles. If they are operated on a public roadway, they are only allowed for areas in crossing, not to be utilized going, you know, down the road as normal transportation. So I don't even know that we would need to exempt them in regulation. However, I would work with the Department of Law to make sure on that. But because you're not required to have a license to operate those vehicles, I don't believe that there would even need to be a specific exemption for them.
Thank you, Ms. Brewster. Representative Feige.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can foresee a situation where perhaps a farmer has parcels of land not necessarily connected except by a road, that he would have to move his tractor or his combine or his baler, whatever piece of equipment to conduct farming, they'd have to be able to move that along a local road. So if perhaps we could put something in there expressing our intent on in the definitions of Title 28, 2890.990, it's down here, they talk about farm vehicles and how they are exempted from being commercial vehicles, okay? And it lists farm vehicles that are controlled and operated by a farmer, used to transport agricultural products, farm machinery, or farm supplies to or from that farmer's farm, not used in the operations of a common or contract motor carrier, and used within 150 miles of the farmer's farm. That's what they're currently considering non-commercial, but I guess it would be my intent that anything covered under that would be exempt from the having to drag around the letter to stick on the back windshield.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Grunberg.
I think we have a choice. We can put that in statute or deal with that through the reg and say it is our specific intent that the regulation exempt those.
Okay.
Which would you prefer?
Just assume have the regulation specifically exempt those.
Through the chair. Ms. Brewster, is that sufficient directive for you to ensure that the regulation include that language?
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, absolutely.
I feel comfortable with that. We have given our intent to the DMV on making sure that is there. Are there any other comments, concerns, questions on the bill that's in front of us? All right. Seeing no additional concerns or questions, I would entertain a motion at this time. Representative Feige.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for House Bill number 212, State Affairs, 27-LS0738/Bravo.
As amended.
Let's see, no fiscal.
Zero fiscal.
And zero fiscal.
I believe there is a zero fiscal. All right. Okay. Seeing no objections, House Bill 212 has moved from committee. Good job. They don't always come this easy.
I never thought we could make it.
She's actually been working on this for a while. So.
No, I appreciate all the effort that you put into it, and I think it shows a lot to have tomorrow's youth, tomorrow's leaders, being a part of the conversation, taking an interest in what we do down here, and showing that it doesn't just take some person that's been elected into this office as the only people that can make a change, make a statutorial change, and affect tomorrow. So. Good job.
Thank
Your dad's
you.
Probably very proud.
I think as a dad, he is.
Seeing that there is no other items before this committee, we will adjourn this committee at 2:20.